This podcast is part of the Neverland Network, where faith meets video games, movies, and fun. Find more shows like this at neverlandpodcast.com. Welcome once again. I better put my headphones on to Watching Movies with my pastor.
Hello.
I am not the pastor. I am Jeremy. I am, for those of you familiar with the Neverland Network of podcasts at neverlandpodcast.com, and you listen to the Fandom Nexus, you will know me as your Spider Pan. And of course, with me as always is Pastor Philip.
Hello, Dale. Hello. How are you doing there? How you doing there, my friend?
How you do? Well, it is October.
It is.
Yes, it is.
Well, all right.
Which someone would call the spooky month.
Mm-hmm.
And so because it's a spooky month, and last year we did have some fun, we watched The Adventures of Ichabod Crane, better known as The Legend of Sleepy Hollow.
That's right.
The Disney animated version. So I thought, you know what? We need to watch something fun again this year. So we're going to sit here and watch 1984's Ivan Reitman directed Ghostbusters.
Oh, it's a classic.
Released June 8th, 1984. Like I said, directed by Ivan Reitman, written by Dan Aykroyd and Harold Ramis. Originally from Dan Aykroyd, and Harold Ramis kind of helped bring a bit more funny to it.
Yes.
Helped ground it, because Dan Aykroyd would want to do it in space. And Harold Ramis is like, no, if we set this in New York, New York becomes a character.
That's right.
Cinematography is by Laszlo Kovacs. Had a budget of about $25 to $30 million. In the box office, the domestic gross was $242.6 million. Cha-ching! Internationally, another $52.98 million, making a worldwide initial run total of $295.6 million. Adjusted and including reissues, known to be $370 million or more total theatrical gross across reissues. It was nominated for an Academy Award for Best Original Song, Ghostbusters, by Ray Parker Jr.
Yeah, it was great.
And Best Visual Effects. Now, of course, Ray Parker Jr. ripped off Huey Lewis.
Yeah. Because
they wanted Huey Lewis to do it, and Ray Parker Jr. kind of ripped off One a New Drug.
Yeah.
And, you know, Huey Lewis did win in court. This won a BAFTA Award for Best Original Song, also for selected by preservation by the U.S. Library of Congress National Film Registry for its cultural significance. And we'll talk a little bit about the cast as they appear on screen. I have little bits about everybody, but we're running kind of late on things. I want to eat the dinner that is before me. So God, please bless this food, and I thank you for it. Bless this time. We're going to watch a movie, and let's get started. I'm going to hit the button for Ghostbusters.
And just for the record, I ain't scared of no ghost.
I ain't afraid of no ghost. You ain't scared of no ghost.
Which also went to court for that, remember.
Really? They had to go to court for that one.
Yeah, I don't think they won, though. But but they
there's a difference between I ain't afraid and I ain't scared.
But they were Ghostbusters first.
Then you had the Filmation Ghostbusters.
Mm-hmm. Came live back action. This, yeah.
They had to make some arrangements to be able to use the name.
Mm-hmm.
Well, what else would you call them? Ghost chasers? Ghost catchers?
They had some of that on theirs. Yeah.
It didn't say here the music was by, but the music is brilliant in this. I forgot his name. Using the theremin to get that nice kind of woo, creepy tones. And this actress was in a lot of things in the 80s.
Yeah, it was. Now, I do like that we go back to it, the more recent one.
Although, I preferred the way the video game did it, the Ghostbusters.
Oh,
you
sure.
Come back and then you get to bust the ghost.
But it was still fun. I like that you get to see that. And especially because it was Aykroyd, you saw it. That was fun.
Mm-hmm.
You could see that fear.
Mm-hmm.
He's so good at that.
Mm-hmm.
I always, being a man of God, I'm always very concerned for him personally. A lot of things he says about that stuff, I get very spooked up for him.
This is very real for him.
Yeah. That frightens me for his sake. But they did a good job at this. They really did.
Great visual effects.
Oh, yeah. This was long before they could do all that other stuff.
You know you'd freak out because this little basement part of the library is very isolated. It's very congested. Very everything's very tight.
It's always a little spooky to be kind of by yourself anyway.
Mm-hmm. We're doing our boogie dance. I hope you're dancing if you're listening, getting to hear the audio.
Do-do-do-do.
Only ones getting to hear the audio are those on Patreon, by the way.
Oh, yeah.
The rest of you just get to imagine the movie. Now, originally they wanted John Belushi for this part.
Yeah.
Bill Murray, though, did a lot of improvisation during rehearsal and came up with a lot of jokes on his own.
Well, he's good at that.
Mm-hmm.
I don't mean any disrespect to the dead. I was never a huge Belushi fan. He was good, but
I've never seen him in anything, so.
Yeah, he's good. It's just
Jennifer Runyon here as the beautiful blonde. Popped up in a few other different movies.
Yeah, she was in a lot of things. She ended up, believe it or not, was Cindy Brady on the, I thought she's beautiful. Cindy Brady on the Christmas Brady Bunch. Very Brady Christmas.
This guy never gets enough credit. He's so funny.
He did really good.
Yeah, I love his gum popping out of his mouth.
His hair sticking up like it is so funny. He's been all flirtatious.
I love the way he never shows her the cards, but shows him when he gets it wrong. Except for when he gets one right, doesn't show him.
He's a jerk.
Yep. Only have 75 more to go. Like that. He just quickly puts it down even when he got it right. This is so much a moment. The look back, the eyebrows at her.
Oh, wings.
Zap.
What a jerk.
You volunteered and we're still paying you. It's ticking me off.
$5.
$5.
Now, I'll say $5 was more than it is now, but still.
Still.
It's not worth it.
How desperate for drug money was it? No. Hey. For beer money. Beer money. That's what I meant to say.
Or whatever else. That look he's giving her. You're no fluke.
The great funny. Dan Aykroyd.
It's funny when you watch it on a bigger screen, you kind of catch things you forget about.
Well, heck, when we saw it back in the theaters again for the 30th anniversary, I could see things with him. Now, Dan Aykroyd originally envisioned a much more elaborate version. In early drafts, he imagined the Ghostbusters traveling through time and dimensions. That scale proved too expensive and was pared down. Plus, it would be hard to relate.
Yeah. Many times, less is more.
Yeah.
Well, just like with Jaws. Less was more, and they didn't even, you know what I mean.
Psychokinetic energy, by the way. PKE. That's what helps this work, is the science, quote unquote, science is so well worked out. Even, and another thing, when you hear some people who are quote unquote ghost hunters these days, those are supposed to be made out of electrons, and that's why they're using protons to catch them. So actually, they were trying to be pretty legit with some of their science.
Dan Aykroyd did do a really good job. You got to give the guy credit. He might be loony in certain areas, but he's a good dude. I mean, as far as he's smart and all that with this stuff.
Harold Ramis.
He was great. Great director. Great. He was so awesome. Now, you may be getting ready to say this. I don't know. But originally, Eddie Murphy was going to be too.
Eddie Murphy was going to be Winston. I'd like to have seen that, but I love Ernie Hudson, though. Yeah.
Now, one of the things I was kind of hoping for, though, when they were bringing out the newer ones, I was kind of hoping that for the fun of it, they were going to have Eddie Murphy, a few of them involved, just for the fun of it, you know.
Just
that
would have
been great. Yeah.
The first time you get to see one of Egon's weird devices.
Yeah.
And you don't understand what it does, but I like that it's got a visual thing where, it's detecting something. You figure it out as you watch it.
I love how he's in the back of them all. It's kind of looking around.
Yeah, he's completely skeptical, thinking, I got to waste my time at this.
Yeah.
I love this, like, And his lines in here are so funny. No human being would stack books like this. I love that. You smell something.
Yeah, that is funny. I never thought about that.
Yeah, it's funny.
This part always grossed me out as a kid, you know. But I wanted slime right away. The moment I saw it, I wanted slime. So it grossed me out, but yet I wanted it.
But you see him slowly, like, he's still being a smart aleck, but he's kind of like, okay, this is weird. Like his expressions kind of change. When I start seeing undeniable evidence, I love the look on Venkman's face.
Yeah.
Like, okay, that was weird.
It's so slow. And
like a bookshelf just nearly fell on us for no random reason.
For no random reason?
Exactly. At random for no reason.
Yeah, there you go. I do like that little thing.
PKE meter makes a lot of great sound.
You remember when we were young, they had the toys. Now, of course, they were blue, but there was a really cool. They made great toys of them.
They did a good job with this ghost here.
Yeah, I love it.
They look so much better with the way they film it and then overlay it in there versus the computer. I mean, computers can do a lot of really neat things.
Yeah, they're great.
They don't look real like this does.
They're getting better, but I think what's smart is the one thing I will give to the newer Star Wars that I will say they're smart. They put a little bit of both.
Yeah.
It's good that way.
I love what you got on this calculator. Well, he's the talkier.
and the dramatic music as he's about to do something entirely stupid. Ready? Get her!
I also love in the newer film that he comes back, that guy's back again. That was really fun. I didn't expect it. Yeah. I did not expect it.
That's one thing of the cartoon, the real Ghostbusters. I don't think they gave Ray enough credit. That Ray is a smart guy.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they treated him like he was the fat, dumb one or something.
Well, they wanted to make him like a kid, which he has a little bit of that, because it's more like he believes easily.
Yeah.
But they almost did it too much where he didn't think very, very much.
And I like the fact that in the newer movies, they have Egon's the rapper of that Baby Ruth.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, this guy is so good at being awful.
Now, right before this, he'd been on Three's Company. He was always the boss to John Ritter character.
I like that. But the kids love us.
Another right before this, Harold Ramis, just shortly before this, like right before this, he had directed National Lampoon's Vacation.
Mm. About Polar Scientist, Dr. Pinkman. That snide look he has there. Oh, he's so good at this. In the private sector, yes. They expect results. I understand that joke so much better as an adult.
Yeah, yeah.
Because you have to be measured by everything you do.
I
love
this
horrible mortgage he's got. I was born in that house. Everybody has three mortgages. And I appreciate here in these later movies that they still trying to pay that mortgage.
Yeah.
It's not gone. For all the money they might have made doing this, they still owe money.
In the second film, they went broke.
I mean, they're getting sued by everybody.
Yeah. Now she was on everything.
Yeah.
Who's the Boss? Everything.
Yeah. I'd love to visit this old firehouse.
Oh yeah.
Of course, this part here is set, but
I also love in the new film that you get to see it way back when they're using horses and all.
Yeah. I'm going to get my stuff. But it's funny because the mortgage is completely him. So it's really raised. They're like, okay, if Ray likes it, we're going for it.
Well, he's a kid. They're trying to get a deal. And see, look at her. She's all like, never mind.
I love the design of that building here.
Oh, it's great. Back when you did map.
Yeah.
Back when you did the map paintings and all.
You can kind of tell that you can see some of the lines of the street through the tooth.
Yeah, it's a real.
You know, it's been superimposed over there.
It was a real art form back then. You had to be good at that.
Yeah. I'm glad that I can do so much digitally that would have taken a lot of chemical processing and all kinds of stuff on film.
And time.
Oh, my goodness. And editing, where you used to have to cut, literally cut and stick together, I can do that now with a few mouse clicks.
In the movie,
I feel privileged.
Darby O'Gill and the Little People, they set out there and paint that mountain over the... Yeah, they had paint every little grass and everything. I mean, think about that.
I still appreciate a good matte painting.
Oh, me too. A lot of talent.
This is the first time I've ever seen Rick Moranis in something. So happy he's coming back for Spaceballs 2.
Me too. I wish he'd show up for one of the Ghostbuster things they do.
Yeah. Well, you know, we got another Ghostbusters movie. Maybe he'll come out.
Yeah, it'd be great.
Yeah.
What you shouldn't do.
Yeah, I'd sort of do my own taxes, but I'd do it through an H&R Block's program.
It's a little different.
Yeah.
Things are different now.
I pay a little extra fees.
Things are a lot different now than they were then.
Yeah. So the test screening on February 3rd, 1984, with unfinished effects, convinced the filmmakers that key sequences worked, especially the library ghosts and the Stay Puft Marshmallow Man scenes. The special effects, ghost slime transformations, were ambitious for their time and required a mix of practical effects, optical techniques, and clever editing. We'll get into critical reception here in a bit. Try not to overplay all my notes too early in the movie. But the effects here, this is amazing how they managed to pull off the frying eggs and everything without melting the marshmallows.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because, I mean, and I love the fact that they're displaying, so you get to see Stay Puft Marshmallow, which when you first see it, you don't catch, but they're presenting stuff at the end, and there's a Mr. Stay Puft on there.
Yeah, that's their logo.
Yep.
They should have actually made a brand of Stay Puft Marshmallows and marketed it.
I always thought they should have. It would have been great. Well, I'll tell you what.
But there's like this.
Yeah, it's brilliant.
The eggs come out and they're frying, but like the marshmallows aren't melting. So it's like, how did they rig this up? And even to pop the shells and have them spring out, that's some clever stuff going on.
Maybe they weren't real marshmallows.
Well, yeah, I figure it's not, but it's not melting the plastic or anything.
Yeah, I don't know.
It's just some brilliant practical effects of really just kind of layering out, like, okay, here's the heated part of the counter, here's the non-heated part of the counter. Zoo! Now, of course, at this point, I hadn't seen Alien or anything, so I wasn't familiar with her. But she had went more focused on comedy when she was coming up, and she ended up being an like, Alien, so she was really eager to do this because she wanted to say, no, I studied comedy. I want to be funny, so... And apparently got up on the table and demonstrated how she could be like a dog. And apparently she helped give them some of the ideas for her scene later when she's possessed. The great Sigourney Weaver.
Mm. She's in a lot of good shows.
Yeah. Only $4,800 for that thing. And Annie Potts as Janine.
No, I love her, man.
Yeah. No, Dr. Venkman. She's so great. Kitty Parkour.
I just realized Cher is on that People magazine there.
Yep. Here we go. Like spores, molds, and fungus.
And he's something.
And I love that in the online game that I haven't played it in a while. They actually have, you could collect spores, molds, and fungus, and it'll collect on a shelf. There's an achievement for filling the shelf called spores, molds, and fungus. I believe I have that achievement.
Mrs. Melnitz.
Zoink. I love when he pops up like that.
He barely made that.
Yeah.
You see his foot hit it even.
I wonder how many takes they
I don't know.
Doing that.
That was, whew.
I love the look on her face when he starts BSing.
Yeah.
Well, that's all we get day in, day out. And Janine just like, really? This is the first person who's walked in our door.
Well, it was about sales. And he's trying
He's a con man.
Oh, that's what he is. He's a car salesman in a sense.
But he's still so skeptical about things, though, too.
I know.
Yeah, I love the fact that they're coming up with all these excuses other than what she wants, and he's kind of looking like, we're about to lose our only customer, guys.
Well, none of them are acting professional. I just realized he's sitting there drinking a beer. He's
I love, like, the subtle things he's looking over at them.
Yeah, kind of like,
Yeah. You know, I wonder if they got like a little prop kind of fun book you can have, kind of like, because they got the book of the recently departed or whatever from Beetlejuice. They need a Tobin spirit guide book or whatever for a collectible. Fun. That'd be fun.
Something's going to happen. I want it to happen to me first.
That's so bad. They never explain what this doodaddy's got here is supposed to be doing anyway. Collecting air samples or something when it starts squishing it.
They don't care.
Yeah. That's the thing, is like it seems like it's sucking air in, so like maybe it's taking like samples of something in the air or something.
Probably does nothing.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's technical.
She ain't buying a bit of this crap.
It's a shame. It's so like
what a crime.
That's it,
That's when he starts like, okay, fine, I'm taking this seriously. And right now he's still checking, he's like, how does this stuff fry on the counter? This is weird. Yep. I love this. I don't think you're crazy.
Hey, everything's aligned.
I think it's so much better.
It just sets a line with him. He's just trying to get... Here we go.
Yeah. Yes, we both have the same problem. You. Oh, my gosh.
Oh, no, don't do it.
He's so cringy. She's being as nice as possible and pushing him out the door.
He's annoying. Speaking of annoying, here he is.
Yeah. Oh,
poor guy.
But you gotta love him.
Oh yeah. Poor dude. Yeah,
Lewis. Yep. To our first and only customer. Gee, Rude, it's the last meal we might get. This is where the fun begins. They'll be totally discreet.
Yeah, that's right. Not going to. And that's how the cartoon always started, too.
Yep. The music in this is so good.
I was looking at the arcade or the things in the background.
Yeah. I appreciate in the, what was it, 2007 video game that they had the arcade machines up there?
Ecto-1.
Oh, yeah.
That's the man. That's it.
Yes, I'm doing a couch dance that y'all can't see. The music is just so good that you're not going to hear it unless you're on the Patreon page.
And the dance that he's doing looks very similar to the girls on Breakfast Club. That you're doing that little, you're doing that.
I don't like that movie.
Molly Ringwald dance there. That's a good show. Ugh. Hey, Howard Hughes is there. He's one of the best of all time.
Howard Hughes.
Howard Hughes.
Yeah, you don't.
Don Hughes. Sorry. Hey, Howard Hughes.
I love this guy. He pops up in other stuff too.
Yeah, he was good. He was in that game too. They made it look similar to him. I don't know if he looked just like him, but he was a butler looking dude, you know? Mm. I mean, he kind of looks like the Alfred that you'd get in a comic.
Kind of. This is part of what makes this work better. What Frozen Empire was missing is having interactions with average people like this.
Cosmonaut?
No, we're exterminators. Someone saw a cockroach up on 12.
I like this part.
Bite your head off, man.
That's great stuff.
I'll take the next one.
I was going to say there wouldn't be much room with the backpacks.
Yeah, with them proton packs on the backs. I love how they're going to, when he switches it on, they're going to back away.
One of the things that I bought for my nephew for his birthday one time that he loved, come on, Freddie, that he loved. I bought him a backpack for school that looked like that.
Nice.
And it even had a thing that looked like the proton gun part.
An unlicensed nuclear accelerator on his back. Yeah, I love that they're talking about that. And then they switch it on, and Egon's like, nope, back away.
Yeah, back away.
It's nuclear. Know. Like they're going to get far enough away in an elevator to protect themselves if that thing blows up.
That's it.
Yep.
Therefore, I love this lady.
Yep.
I mean, that looked good, too, the way they
Yeah. Still looks good.
Yeah, it does. Poor woman.
Sorry. I'm sorry.
See, look at the burn marks on toilet paper. That's what makes it look cool. It makes it look believable.
As you look, she's trying to put the fire out with the spray bottle back there.
I never even noticed all that. I mean, I see it tons, but you know, there's the little things that make it
fun.
It's
the little things that are just funny.
Oh, here we go. This is the thing.
Yeah. The ugly little spud.
Yeah, that was his original. Yeah. And he was based off of
John Belushi.
John Belushi, yeah.
It's funny how his cigarette sticks to his lip like that.
Oh, there had to be... No, okay, never mind. I was going to say, was there glue or something? How did they do that?
I think it might have been just a happy accident, you know, that it was just kind of sticking
maybe
a little bit.
Maybe it's wet or something.
Yeah, just enough moisture. It just makes it funnier.
Yeah, it does. That was really funny.
I love the sound effects of turning on.
Oh, it's awesome.
The sound design is so good.
Yeah. And I love Slimer. I mean, they didn't start calling him Slimer until later, but... Yep.
Well, you know, when you put him in a cartoon because he's popular, you got to make him easy for the kids, so he's become Slimer.
And they started adding that. Yeah, because he was like the Spud and all that stuff at first.
Yeah, I didn't know that they called him... Because we were already calling him Slimer ourselves, but there was like some booklet I remember looking at. They referred to him as the ugly little Spud.
Yeah. Which is,
they're going to call him right now. I'm in Ray.
Oh,
there it is. Go move, it won't hurt you. You know, as much as I'd love to see a weird crossover between Ghostbusters and Hogwarts, where they start trying to bust the ghosts in Hogwarts, a poltergeist crossover with Ghostbusters.
Oh, yeah.
Would have been awesome. Even include the weird guy in the Ghostbusters 2. Like, they had the Beast was actually this weird evil pastor cult leader guy.
The Turtles with Ghostbusters would be fun.
Didn't they make toys?
I think they did. I didn't ever get any of them, but I would have loved to see all of them dressed like that. That'd be fun.
Yeah.
And What would be kind of fun, now this is just me being silly, but I like to see kind of the little red nose sign kind of shaped a little bit like a turtle shell type thing. That'd be fun.
But I don't see how you make that jive with Ghostbusters and Ninja Turtles because they don't deal with spirits and stuff.
Oh, they could.
Find a way to make it work.
Well, heck, if they could put the turtles with He-Man and everything else that they do.
Well, but He-Man is kind of, he's physical, you know, you can do that. See, with Ghostbusters, you need something.
They're all in New York.
Yeah. That you can make it work. He's trying to be nonchalant with his chandelier noise in there. It's okay. The table broke the fall. Total protonic reversal. And I appreciate it in the video games that if you start to cross the streams, you get a vibration in your controller.
Yeah, I remember
and
that.
And it'll hurt you.
I remember that. See, what I like is that Venkman is kind of like, he's filling in for us. He's the non-believer, so to speak.
You know, having the headphones on watching this, the sound is so much cooler.
I know. Now, Winston later on becomes us. Winston kind of becomes the norm.
He's the everyman.
Yeah.
You can kind of hear everybody gossiping in now with the headphones.
Yeah, I like it.
And I love the way Slimer is like a little bit winded almost looking. He's all panting up there.
Yeah.
Which they kind of let in the games, they talk about that you kind of sap the power out of him with the proton stream. And then once it's weak enough, then you can capture it.
Yeah, he is. He's tired. Poor soul.
Yep. Literally. You have to drain some of their energy out.
Poor soul.
Yeah. And I love that wavy noise.
Yeah, me too. Woof.
On VHS, I used to rewind and watch this scene over and over over. Yeah. Just loved it. All the effects and everything.
I love the trap so much. But I have my DVDs and all put inside it's a lunchbox that looks like that.
Nice.
It's just so cool. And when you open it up, this is how nerdy I am, folks. When you open it up, not only does it have all the DVDs and stuff in there together, but it has a little stuffed Slimer that comes out of it. Because I can't help it. I'm a nerd. It fits. You know, it's just too cool. It's kind of balancing everything out.
Yeah.
He sells it, man.
I love you, Peter, looking over at Egon when he's writing the prices down.
Of course. But he's selling it, man.
Suddenly doing the four.
Yeah, yeah, I see that.
I love that.
Right there, then the one. You see the one?
Mm-hmm.
He's that car salesman guy.
Yep.
Now!
But you know they're going because this is a big fancy hotel. It's like, oh, yeah, we can charge them a lot.
Yeah.
Because the common person, I bet they weren't charging that much.
Oh, probably not. Now, you know what I always kind of wanted? Not in this movies, but in the cartoon or something, or the comic books. They had comic books, too.
Yeah.
I always thought it'd be cool if you had a competitor Ghostbuster type. Mm,
yeah.
You could have had a name like a Spirit Hunter or whatever, you know.
Something, yeah.
It would have been fun.
I'm briefly stepping away from the table, but I can still talk. I'm just putting plates away.
I love this song, man.
Oh, yeah. Dun, dun. This is where the copyright issue would show up.
If Casey Kasem come up here in a minute.
Regular podcast.
Casey Kasem here.
I'm still a little hungry, so I'm going to be bad and eat some donuts.
Oh, yeah, okay, there he is.
Larry King.
Larry King.
Before we knew who he was. Well, before we knew who he was.
Oh, look at that.
He was very well known in New York.
Oh, yeah.
Getting his early start there in radio.
I love this too, man. This is great. There it is. I always love that part.
Oh, the Atlantic?
Yeah. Here's Casey Kasem coming up. Which is cool because I started realizing that that's Shaggy speaking. Yeah. See, I wonder what he cares about.
Yeah, the money.
Yeah.
Well, he was going into business.
We just want the money. This is one of my favorite. I just love this movie.
Mm-hmm.
I like all of them, but this has got to be, this is the best. There's no doubt about it. Usually the original is, usually. This part always freaked me.
I did not understand it all when I was a kid.
No, me neither. I didn't either.
But you notice, this originally was going to be a scene, but they decided to cut it into just being a dream sequence instead.
Which is, I think, wiser.
Yeah. Yeah. It's funnier this way, though, too.
Yeah, it is. It makes more sense.
Yeah.
There's my guy.
Yep.
One thing I like that they've done now with the recent films, Winston ends up being much wiser.
Yeah.
And much more important in a lot of ways.
Well, in that one video game, he talks about going and studying at the Egyptian exhibit.
Yeah.
When he was getting his doctorate.
Yeah. So he ends up being much bigger.
Mm-hmm.
And because in this first one, you get this idea that he's just kind of the guy coming in, doesn't know, doesn't care. Doesn't, now he's a much bigger name. Yeah. He means so much more.
He learns a lot, I guess.
Yeah. I love him. He's. And Arsenio Hall.
They had fun coming up with last names in this movie, I swear.
Arsenio Hall was the voice of him on the cartoon.
Right.
And of course, the voice of Peter. Now, this guy here, he was on a lot of shows.
Hmm.
But the voice of Peter on the cartoon, originally Garfield, I can't remember the actor's name.
Lorenzo Music.
And then Dave Coulier.
Dave Coulier was not as good.
I didn't like him as much. In fact, to be honest with you, the ones I ended up buying, it stopped right before his voice picked up. It's because it was cheaper that way for me.
Yeah.
Buy like $30, $40. And the other thing was, I didn't like him as that.
Now, what's funny about this is she clearly did not like him before. But now it's like, oh, now he's famous. Now it's like, oh, now you're attractive.
But then again, it could very well be, too, that now that she's been seeing him on TV and she's seen who he is and how he is, maybe he's starting to grow on her a little bit.
It might be. What's Gozer? Gozer was very big in Mesopotamia. Or Samaria.
I love her, man. She's so cool.
But it's just funny when he's trying to get a date with her. Now she's finding it amusing when it was creepy before.
He was the villain on Beverly Hills Cop 3. Not a good film, but that is him.
Well, the cello guy?
Yeah.
Hmm. I barely remember Beverly Hills Cop 3. I don't know if I remember much of the second one.
The second one's good. It had, at the time, the one of the main villains in it. At the time, she was married to Sylvester Stallone.
Oh, yeah.
She was tall and blonde.
Yeah. She played Red Sonja.
That's right.
And then we found out how weird she was on some reality show she was on. She's weird.
That was, She was on there with Vanilla Ice and others.
Yeah. Yeah. For the longest time, I didn't understand why he started spinning like that. But then I realized there's a skater back there. But the skater didn't show up on the regular television screen.
I remember.
He just got off
the
edges. Here comes another iconic line. Release. Okay, well, not quite.
That was one of my favorite things on the video game when you got you putting all that in. I don't know. It just feels living it out.
Green, trap is clean.
That's it. And they still say that in the newer films, too. I was like, yeah, that's right. It felt good going back to New York. You know what I mean? I remember there, but you know what I mean? I have, technically. When I was in the Statue of Liberty, they're like, well, technically in New York. I'm like, oh, okay, I guess technically I am.
Yeah.
I've just not been in the city itself. Honestly, I don't think I could handle it the way my head is, you know.
Oh, yeah. It depends on where you go, I think.
That's probably true.
It's always a busy, crowded place.
Well, you know, the noise around. And all that.
And the noise never stops.
Well, she's so nice.
Yeah. Ghostbusters, what do you want?
I love this
I love guy. Him. He's such a great villain.
Even the new one.
Even in Die Hard.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yes.
He was in one of Steven Spielberg's like first films.
Wow.
He was Kurt Russell's gal. What's her name?
Goldie Hawn.
Goldie Hawn. Yeah, they're together in that.
Hmm. You know, he's probably like the super nice guy because he's so good at being such a creep.
Yeah. And the guy that always reminded me of him, they don't necessarily look alike, but they're similar. They almost always played a creep, too. Was the guy who played Eric from
Willow. Yeah. And Willow.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, it's like some government thing. But 80s, it was a big thing to not trust the government. And now we got people that are like, oh, no, the government. We want them to just control everything.
Yeah,
like,
really? It's the opposite.
Yeah.
But look at the Wise back there.
Wise chips.
Man, I remember those days. I remember eating the Wise cheese puffs thing.
Yeah.
They're real fluffy.
They still make that stuff, too. Certain stores still carry that brand.
Oh, my dog. See, there's that Wise Owl right there.
Yep. Like that one thrift store that used to be near you.
Yeah.
I've seen it there.
It's one of my earliest memories is with my great grandmother, Koontz. I remember I was like 3 and I was with her eating Wise cheese curls.
Mm.
She passed away not that long after that.
He's a weasel.
Yeah, he's such a weasel. But it seems like Vinkman, he's trying to be helpful, this guy from the EPA, you know, and then until the guy wants to make legal threats, then that's when Peter's hackles are up.
One thing they did with Twinkies, that was cool too, is they brought him out with that green stuff that
time
for Ghostbusters, and then later they did for Shrek and all that too. But, well, it might be opposite. Maybe it was Shrek first.
And they had the green high C for, I think it was whatever the cartoon, they had the Ecto coolers.
Oh, yeah, I love that. Yeah.
I don't think I ever had one.
Well, I was trying to think, it might have been Ghostbusters 2 and the cartoon at the same time.
Yeah.
Because I know it was out in 1990. That looks cool with the little carriage.
Oh, this was so creepy when I was a kid.
I tried to buy a toy of one of those gargoyle things to go along with the other one I have, but it was so expensive, it was unbearable. Yeah. I couldn't do it.
Yeah, turn the movie down a little bit. That just got really kind of loud.
That is creepy.
It is creepy. Oh, yeah. It scared me. I was a little kid in the drive-in when we first watched this
movie. Is that when you saw it at the first
time? The drive-in.
Oh,
neat. Yep.
Unfortunately, until I went to see it with later on when it was at re-release, I never saw it at the theater the first time we saw it.
Oh, wow.
We rented it. And then my, I'll tell you later. I don't want to say it. But there, when I got it, saw it again, the second, third, fourth time, my grandma had tried to edit to where it wouldn't have curse words and all. Problem was, she meant well.
Oh, yeah.
Problem was her taking out the words all the time. She would forget to record soon enough, so it took out half the good stuff.
Oh, no.
It was, anyway, she did it for good reason for kids. You know, we were just kids, like 8 and all.
Yeah.
8 and 9.
I can hear the song playing in this apartment a little better in these headphones.
Me too. What I love is, and I never thought about it, but he's kind of out of date, even almost more 70s looking.
Yeah, he is.
Now, granted, in the early 80s, some people are still dressing like that, but mostly he's kind of out of date.
But he's so much like, he's trying to dress like he's some like swinging bachelor.
Yeah,
it's so great. It's so funny.
He's not quite. And the girl, the blonde-headed girl here in a minute.
Oh, yeah, she was
on Cheers.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I mean, everything.
Did you know they had
the toy? She's in the toy.
Oh, she was.
Yeah. Yeah. She was like the weird trophy wife for, you know, the guy, you know, he was not the Flintstones, but the original Flintstones, you know, he was Jackie Gleason. Gleason's like trophy wife, if I remember correctly.
Yeah, that's right.
Or maybe I'm thinking of the wrong, maybe I might be thinking of a different blonde.
Maybe.
I think I'm thinking of the wrong blonde. 80s was the time of the large chested blonde bimbo.
This part was cool. Now, Now back to the toys here. I thought this would be a cool toy myself with the hands, but you got to be careful.
I have a photo from Planet Comic Con of me and where they recreated this chair.
Really?
Yes.
Oh, man, I missed out on that.
It was great because I would love to get all this stuff and join. There's a cosplay Ghostbusters group here locally.
Oh, really?
I'd love to be able to get my gear and get in.
Oh, that would be cool, man.
It'd be so much fun. They rig up cars and they go and do things.
You know? I was going to say, I've seen the cars and that's awesome. They have
is so cool how they did it. It's so scary though.
How
did
they do it so well?
It's whatever kind of material. This is also kind of funny. The one guy who can't see and he's trying to not grab her by the boob.
Well, yeah,
they're trying to be so careful. You know, it's like, sorry, Sigourney, didn't mean to do that.
Or so he claimed.
Oh, it's so scary.
It is spooky, man.
Yeah, it's all funny ha-ha until the terror dogs come out.
Yeah.
You know? And that's what the balance has got to be to make Ghostbusters good, you have to have a good balance of funny and something scary.
Yeah, you got to have a little bit of both.
You got to get a little bit of both. The second one really put the scare factor.
I was even noticing over there you got the sugar and the tea and all. I remember that old stuff. Old ladies had a lot of that, you know?
Yeah.
I don't mean that to be cruel, you know?
It's cool.
I do. I like it. Etc.
Yes. That was the thing in the 80s.
I remember.
Yeah. It was on like some TV sets and everything.
There she is.
There she is. I love his goofy dance he starts doing.
Yeah, he was awesome, man.
Yeah. And it's funny because, like, you can tell that she's been over at his whatever party things or whatever. They kind of hang out. They're like, we're swinging New York people. They're dorky. But, and then he's got all these, like, straight, stiff, you know, accounting customers showing up. And she's really bored.
Yeah, he's funny.
So it's like they have a crowd that she's used to. Oh, I just noticed his graduation picture on the wall. Did you see that?
I hadn't seen that, no.
Yes.
Isn't that fun? And his accounting certificate up above. Okay, who brought the dog?
Oh, poor guy.
It has chosen you. Smash. Oh, this old lady's going to come out here in a second, too. What's the noise?
Oh, poor gal.
Run back in her house.
There's a bear. There's a bear in my apartment. He's so funny.
Bear in his apartment. There it is.
Yeah, you can see. So, it's the, yeah.
I love that.
This is the part that just always cracked me up.
Yep.
It was horrible, but it's funny, too.
My brain is one that calls it Tavern on the Green, and it might be Tavern on the Green.
But it might be.
Yeah. Well, I know I've heard that in some movie somewhere.
Yeah, me too.
I think the Flintstones even made fun of it.
This is so sad. It turned out maybe I got a milk bone. Cute little pooch.
He's so funny.
Yeah, he probably thinks he's going to get eaten. And no one even sees the thing. Oh, whatever. Turn back to our food and our conversations. Yuppies, you know.
Yeah.
And you probably, this as a kid, I was, you know, I think first time I watched, I thought, oh, Dana Barrett's dead. And he's going to go up there and see a mess. Because I figured she was getting eaten by that thing.
Well, I didn't understand the whole.
Yeah. Thing you find out later. It's like, oh, no, she's possessed. I hope I'm not catching something. My nose is getting cloggy and stuff here today. Oh. I can't afford to be sick. Ain't nobody got time for that.
Ain't nobody got time for that.
Yeah, he sees the mess and just keeps it going. None of my business. Oh, it's plenty of your business. Look on her face when she slams the door on him.
Look at that freaky little thing face by the mirror.
Oh, that. Okay, I see what you're talking about. Little head thing.
Yeah. Well, it says musical
courier thing. Yeah. Well, she's got her piano over there.
So. Yeah.
Professional musician. Playing for the New York Symphony. He's run out of knowing what to say. He's just found himself in The Exorcist.
Yeah.
Well, this is still that weird thing that why does he have this knockout drug with him? There's times I want to say that to Heather. Just take me now, sub creature.
Hey, this look at that phone. That's interesting. It's different.
Sounds like you got at least two people inside. Her alarm clock is like unplugged or something over there too. There's like no light time. Lovely singing voice she must have. Yes, that's funny. Yeah, such an empty threat. There's gonna be real trouble in this apartment, I think. Like,
yeah, I think
you are not in command here.
You can see the makeup. They did a good job. There's a hat blue and yeah, it's really good.
It's so creepy and so weird.
Yeah, they did a good job with that. Really well done.
Probably learn how magicians do this trick.
Oh, man, they're great.
Yeah.
I don't know how they do it. They do good.
Yeah. I love this. Please come down.
Mm-hmm.
Roar!
It scared him, yeah.
But he's finally got something. He's completely out of his depth, and he knows it now.
His hair's gone nuts.
Yep.
He's brilliant in this role.
I swear that's a mugger that just ran by him because he's got a stocking cap over his head.
Probably.
Casey Jones should be there in Central Park there.
Yeah.
Are you the gamekeeper? I can't help it. I see that and I think of Teen Wolf.
Yeah, give me too.
A keg. I'm here.
I want a keg.
You got to wonder when she has to ask it like that, dropping off or picking up. I mean, has somebody come by to pick up before over there?
Yeah, that's true. Well, you're very kind to date him later.
Well, he was human at some point, or passed for it at least.
I love how they did that with the animation.
Yeah, it's such a cool animation. That same creepy building. And I wonder if Egon's putting it together when he looks at that and realizes the building is the same one they're investigating with Dana Barrett.
I love the crazy stuff he says.
The way he does it. I can tell you.
Yes, I can tell you.
The weird animation of his face, and he's great. Look at him. He's crazy.
Like, it isn't obvious that there's some weird, awful thing happening. Good night.
I kind of half rolled his eyes with that.
Yeah. So how did he have Thorazine?
I have no idea.
I mean, it is something used as a psychiatrist, apparently. I tried to look it up once before, but who carries a Thorazine syringe? I don't know if they were thinking about that when they thought of that. Or did he run somewhere, get some Thorazine, and come back? Show him his license, you know, paranormal psychology. It's kind of weird how she's managing to breathe because, like, her stomach and her chest is doing like a teeter-totter.
Like a dog, you know. Yeah. It's crazy.
Panting crazy.
Yeah. I love how he says that.
Yeah.
He's a man of faith.
Yeah. Although they don't understand the Bible. Well, that's one of the things that we're going to come up with.
Yeah, they get it wrong.
Very much so.
They get it wrong. It's interesting because the scripture that they got wrong that they quote here is a chapter off.
Yeah.
They then put it right in the next in the third film. They put the right scripture on there, but what's funny is if you actually quote the one that they say it is, it's talking about the Lord.
Yeah. Let's see here. I thought it had something specifically to say about this. I mean, it's going to deal with it here or later. We'll pull out some notes on it. I thought it had something a bit more on it. Other than, like, the dead in Christ will rise first.
That's right.
So it's not people rising from the dead becoming ghosts. It's people being raptured to meet Jesus in the air. So, yeah, they're not quite getting that right.
No, but, you know, Hollywood does that a lot. Yeah. They're trying to get to fit. But, hey, to be honest with you, a lot of ministers, not just ministers, but people will do that to try to fit their thing. I get it. I'm not agreeing with that, but I understand it.
So over time, this movie's been considered one of the great comedies, routinely ranked best of the 1980s list.
Yes.
With enduring quotable references, its success helped cement summer blockbuster as also viable for smart comedies, not just action spectacles.
It's really good. What I like about this movie, not just that it's funny, but it's funny in a way that's not like your ha-ha, you know, slapsticky. It's just good. It's funny because of the characters.
Yeah. Well, the choice of a public everyday New York setting, firehouse offices, streets, helped the supernatural elements feel more grounded and striking. Cinematographer Laszlo Kovacs used lighting and camera movement to make the ghosts and apparitions feel part of the city.
Yeah. He's so good, you just want to punch him right in the mouth, especially after he screams at him after they do. Look at him pointing at him. It's like he's pointing at him. It's so great.
I like this guy playing this police officer. He's so New York.
He is. Look, now he's doing like him.
Yep. And sniffing.
Yeah. He's acting like all of them. His hand in hand. Mm-hmm.
He should have listened to the guy who says, I haven't seen anything like this. Just the way he says that, he's so New York cop.
Yeah, the way he's
don't tell me I'll do my jump pencil neck.
Shut it off! He's just a jerk.
Yeah. And Egon's like, we better get out.
I like that. There, he's like, better go.
Yep.
And he's sniffing him. It's so good. There you go.
Yep.
You see that picture of her when she was younger on there?
And this does look like a scene out of Poltergeist.
Yeah.
Well, it got really loud. I think I cranked up the volume on the movie anyway, trying to fix when we were having technical problems.
Look at that. This part looks so cool.
Yeah, and it wasn't until later viewings that I caught when he was talking to the horse that he's like, wait for the sign and our prisoners will be released. Yeah. Here it is. Mm-hmm. And when he says the line, you're like, oh!
And there he is.
This is the sign. Yeah, it's the sign, all right. We're going out of business.
Oh, he's walking.
Yeah. He's inexorably drawn to the gatekeeper. And it's so weird, like the key master and the gatekeeper, you suddenly realize, oh.
Yeah.
Your mother.
Think about that. It is so obnoxious. You forced us to do it.
Yeah.
Now, because you did this, I just realized that Stay Puft sign is right next to their building. Yeah. See that?
Yeah.
And it looked like an old painting, like back in the day.
I think even in the online game they have, I think when you go outside, there's a Stay Puft sign, I believe, is out there.
That's awesome.
I'm going to want to go play.
Yeah.
Although I got Alan Wake. Oh, yeah, be careful of that cable there. We've had enough issues with that cable today. Some of these ghost designs are really creepy, too.
Yeah, that one's pretty spooky.
And this one in here in the taxi cab.
Yeah, I like this one.
He looks so evil.
Yeah,
this
you know.
His hat looks so funny, though, in this shot here.
Yeah.
The effects are so cool in this. That's a good edit, too. And I kind of figure she blew the wall out because it burst from the inside. And then it cuts over to all the pigeons flying away with, you know.
Yeah.
The Keymaster out there. And you know, somewhere in the back of his head, this is because I'm black, isn't it? I get arrested when I wasn't even there, man. I love the way everybody's just gathering around looking at this, like...
Yeah, they're not even part of it.
Everybody getting this? That guy, I think, popped up in other stuff, too. I think somebody made a podcast called Spook Central. Either that or it's a fan page for Ghostbusters. Like, I know I've seen one where they've used Spook Central for a thing.
He's so stupid. Oh, I love him.
And it's fun the way Egon's telling all this, because it's like he's at a campfire, you know, telling ghost stories.
Look at them all.
It's me good, for goodness sake.
Someone's coming to town.
Oh, yep. Yeah, big difference.
Not by much. Hey.
Yep, Carl Winslow.
And Die Hard.
Die Hard, yep.
And
yep.
Also when he was in New York, what movie were you playing? He played a limo driver on Crocodile Dundee.
Oh, yeah. Not the second one, but he was in the first one.
That's right.
Second one, they got some other dude.
Yeah, he wasn't even kind of not even the same character. It was weird.
Yeah. You can barely recognize her apartment anymore, the way it's been exploded. Yeah, I know it. And this is the thing, a lot of fan theory that they just went ahead and confirmed in these later movies that...
Oh, yeah, well, we already know.
I never assumed that there was anything like that was going to happen while they were possessed.
Well, yeah, because not only that, but because what you said earlier.
They go upstairs and they're going to just, you know, but... But yeah, because the key and the gate and
Yeah, the assumption.
Yeah.
Not when I was a kid, but you know, later on I figured it.
Yeah. I didn't think of it that way until people were bringing it up, because my mind don't work that way.
Mine either.
Yeah.
But not because of the gate and the key, but just because of the obvious of what you said.
To me,
earlier.
The gate and the key is the way the energy goes between to open the door.
Yeah.
She's the keeper of the gate, he's the key to open that gate. That's what I was thinking.
Me
then
too.
How has it come about to, oh no, they were doing a thing and
people are that way, they think about everything that way. Everything.
And now like these later movies, they've now like confirmed that happens for some reason. Well, like, it doesn't make
sense. I assume because the way they look later on. I like this guy.
Kind of funny the way he says that. Where is this Peck? Because I think Willow.
Yeah, me too.
Out of the way, Peck. The late hours are getting to me, man.
Me too. He's laughing at him.
You caused an explosion, dude. This is so funny. It's so bad. Well, that's what I heard. I do have a bit of information about this scene.
The suffix busters became more widely used in language and branding after the film. Ghostbusters, Drugbusters, Gopherbusters, etc.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
In the mayor's office scene, the Ghostbusters warn of biblical proportion of a wrath, yeah, fire, brimstone rising from the grave, mass hysteria, language evocative of Old Testament judgment. The film suggests that human neglect or disbelief does not nullify spiritual reality. Forces beyond our perception may act regardless of our skepticism.
Yeah.
There you go. That's so funny. I can totally see Eddie Murphy delivering some of these lines.
Me too.
It's funny. Yeah, here we go. Start talking about the biblical proportions. This is like one of the great little bits of dialogue, too. Real Wrath of God type stuff. 40 years of darkness, earthquakes, volcanoes.
Dogs and cats living together.
Mass hysteria.
I love this. Here comes the con artist again.
Mm-hmm.
Even the priest is shaking his head yes. Mm-hmm. Up and, the smirk on Peter's face.
I'm gonna miss him. I'm sorry, kitty.
I love how the army men and everything, you know, I'm assuming it's a reserves, but I could be wrong.
Yeah, I don't know how quickly they can get the National Guard to show up.
Yeah. But
it adds some danger to the whole thing. Like, it's become a national emergency, you know, when you have military there. It adds some, I don't know, credence to the situation, yeah, or something. I don't know. Some full-on military stuff, you know. Yeah, also in my notes I have, I mean, this is not a faith film. Oh, that orange, that kind of ginger-headed guy who's overly enthusiastic is a joke so much. Like, you're going to see him later. Yeah, all right!
Yeah.
But anyways, but there's a lot of faith kind of message kind of, yeah, in there, because you got Jewish people and Christians and everybody all out there telling people to repent, you know, end of the world, though. So there's a lot of faith kind of stuff that shows up. But that is the most over-the-top extra they could have ever paid.
Yeah.
You're making his $2 an hour, you know. Because, yeah, minimum wage, man, when you're an extra. At least that's what I was making. Of course, it was an independent film I was an extra in, but I was in it with, Roddy Burns and, yeah, and him, you know, that guy. I can't think of his name.
Ritter.
I wasn't in, well, no.
Oh, there he is again.
Yeah, that guy, there he is.
All right.
All right, yeah, all right. Definitely. He's like, oh my gosh, he's most over the top.
I've seen people like that.
Bouncing around. Maybe me. But no, I'm thinking of, you know, he's in Guardians of the Galaxy and Walking Dead, you know, him. He's, yeah, in that movie.
Oh, yeah.
As long as, yeah, with Jason Ritter as well is in the movie that I'm an extra in. It was later when I saw the trailer that I saw, oh, hey, he was in this movie. I didn't get to be in any hit scenes or see him on set, though. I love the way the crowd noise dies away and you creep scary music as they're looking up and they're thinking, we're going to face this?
Dude, you're not being loud, extra. No way! No, yeah, way!
Yeah.
Quite loudly.
Inside joke and no one on the podcast is going to get.
No.
Yeah, this is what's kind of fun. It's like where it's been all
kind of cool
business and we're catching ghosts and now suddenly, like, we're fighting for the fate of the world here all of a sudden.
When I first saw an ad just a few months ago where you can fix your driveway by pushing the stuff up, this was the scene that came to my mind.
I have made a few of those ads up in St. Joe for a company.
Oh, really? Where they put, it's kind of cool.
Yeah, that they can actually do that and level your I need them to come out here and fix my driveway in the worst way.
It's awesome, but this is the scene that came to my mind.
Yeah.
I was like, that would be something.
Yep.
It's awesome that they did this. It's really
I
great.
Got some high-speed film I did. I filmed with a GoPro. Where that way you can see the movement when they do raise the concrete, because it is a very slow process.
Yeah.
you know, with some sped up, you can see it, and but I got really some pretty great. Good shots.
Really, but anyway, this is cool. I love this.
Yep. There they are.
He's there.
Yeah, this one extra managed to get her line in there. There they are.
Yeah, but I tell you what, it would be great to tell people you were there.
Yeah.
Filming that.
Yeah. Well, they didn't know it was going to be a big thing.
No. So
they're just like, oh, but it's Dan Aykroyd and Bill Murray and Harold Ramis in this movie. That's really cool. You know?
So, Gremlins also came out in that summer.
Yeah.
And now, take this with a bucket of salt, but when I was watching Gremlins, I was watching the commentary. The guy who did it said that the people all hated these people for making this in New York. The New York people all hated them. And that when the movie Gremlins came out, they were number one in New York because they were so mad at the people making Ghostbusters. And I was like, take that with a grain of salt.
Yeah.
Because now, I'm not trying to insult the actor from Gremlins. I just don't know. And I seriously doubt they're still holding a grudge from 1983 when they made it. I mean, New York is used to movies being made.
Well, his belt is undone, I guess, isn't it?
Uh-huh. See the way they're behaving?
Yeah. But he just looks like he was disheveled anyway, so...
Yeah, that's true.
But it kind of seems like you need her as the keeper of the gate and him as the one with the key to open that gate to let Gozer through, you know, so... That's the way I always took it, but, yeah, there's creepy subtlety.
Well, not just that. There are animals right now.
Yeah.
And animals, you know.
Act like animals.
That's it. Dogs, more or less.
Yeah. Oh, like they have, like, what's left of her piano over there.
Yeah, I saw the... And like seeing that, I'm not saying that's what it's supposed to be, but seeing that little big wheel.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, that reminds
Exorcist,
me of...
Or not Exorcist, but The Shining.
The Shining, yeah.
Yeah. I bet that's why they did it.
That freaks me out.
Come play with us.
Oh, shut up. Shut up. Shut up. You're freaking me out, man. And you'll see the blood coming down there. Oh,
yeah,
hush.
Dude.
What was that movie that they brought, that Steven Spielberg brought out, where they did that? They brought that back. The movie where all the movies and, video games and
Ready Player One. Ready Player One, yeah.
Yeah, they brought that back and it freaked me out. I was like, don't. What are you doing to me, man? I can't handle it. I will say it was really funny on Simpsons, where they had those two purple-haired twins that are in Bart's class. That was funny.
Well, there's more bass than my headphones can handle.
Oh, I know. Not Dana anymore, man. Ooh,
there is no Dana, only Zool.
I like how you see the skeleton turn, suddenly change from human to dog, or whatever you want to call that.
Yeah. Okay.
So?
She's a dog. And it's funny, they act like they have this real relationship, but they've only ran into each other twice.
Yeah. A couple times, you know. Yeah. Well, more than twice, but...
Well, really twice. When she came to the office and he went to her apartment, that's once... Run into her outside of the orchestra. That's it. Because that's Zool now from here on. He hasn't seen Dana since then, really.
Twice. Well, he went over there to her place, but you're right. Yeah. It was not quite
They
her.
Don't have a real relationship at
no,
this point.
No, it's just he just wants to have a relationship with her.
But that's the way movies work.
Oh, yeah.
You know, because it's not a focal point of the movie, so... Go get her, Ray.
Yeah.
I love this.
It's a callback.
It is. That hairstyle of hers is very 80s, though,
too. Oh, yeah. Well, it might as well be in a music video.
Yeah.
I mean, it does look like it could be a part of Billy Idol or something, you know?
I love how formal he is.
Oh, I know it. Hey. He's all like, yeah, I said it. He's like, stand strong.
Then die. I always, when I was a kid, thought she was covered in bubbles or something.
Me too. And I still can't figure out exactly what it is. It's like, I think that's kind of the part of it. It's just like, what? It's so bizarre.
Yeah.
But the outfit's awesome, though, in the sense that they did a good job.
Yeah. Of making her look weird.
She is. She's just, she's not attractive, but you can understand where she kind of could be, but yeah. She's not. But
the actress probably was pretty.
Oh, probably. Well, I assume.
When she's not made up to be a monster.
Yeah. She goes, toast.
Yep. And this is still funny with her having that flat top haircut. And they aim for the flat top.
Yeah, that's right.
There, that's a great line, though.
It is. Her eyes are freaking me out, though, man.
Yeah, with those red
the
eyes. Red, like that.
And they look so big.
Yeah. I bet they were kind of uncomfortable in her
eyes.
Oh, they
had to be, but especially back then.
And she's still got heels on, though. That's what's funny, too. Yeah. Here we go.
No.
Nope, Gozer is just choosing a form. Well, you get to choose a form.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Neutralized.
You can see the layers between, like, the green screen or whatever, or, you know.
Oh, yeah, a little bit.
Still looks cool, though. I still appreciate old school effects.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah. They did a really neat job with creating that sky.
That's all they had, too, you know.
This weird mime-looking dude over there. Whoa.
Now, technically, him saying that would have...
Yeah. Well, he wasn't choosing it. He was just trying to explain.
Yeah, for
but, like, Gozer's already been out as a woman, and they couldn't deal with him. So.
Yeah. It's going to scare him white.
Yeah. I did have a big inflatable of Stay Puft Marshmallow Man, but it's hard to get him to stay up because, you know, he's so big.
I love him, man. Yeah. To this day, Stay Puft, I just love Stay Puft.
Yeah.
It's hard for me to think of him as a bad guy, but he is. Yeah. In the cartoon, they kind of made him good sometimes.
Well, that's Gozer, though.
Oh, that's right.
That's Gozer.
That's right, but he's so cute.
Yep.
He's like... The Michelin man, combined with like Baby Huey, with you know a couple other
characters,
roast them.
They did so good with the facial expressions.
Yeah, they really did.
I think there's a Funko Pop of this scene where they're blasting them.
Oh yeah, I think you're right.
Yeah, I want it. It's really big though.
Roast them.
Yep. He's a roast
him
right
this,
back.
This is terrifying looking in a way.
Mm-hmm.
Especially on fire.
And Winston's like, I didn't know I was going to get killed doing this job. Imagine making $11,000 a year in this job. I'm making $30,000 now. And that still ain't enough.
Yeah, but that also is then.
Yeah, inflation, you know. But in New York, you know, it's expensive.
Oh, yeah. Especially putting your life online.
Yeah. Well, when he took the job, I don't think he realized he was going to be in danger.
No.
That's such a cool effect.
Yeah, there. It is.
Melting marshmallow. And I love the way when the building explodes, you can see on that previous shot all the marshmallow getting blasted away.
Yeah.
What's you can even see some marshmallow inside the building right there.
What's cool is, right here, they did not warn this actor.
Yeah. William Atherton.
They
I mean, he knew it had some idea they were going to do something, but
they didn't know to that extent.
They didn't know it was going to be as much pressure as it was when they dropped them on him. But he had them do a test drop, though.
Yeah.
He's talking about that they did a test drop, and they kind of knocked a guy out nearly.
Yeah.
So,
that's a lot.
So I think they thought that they weren't going to do it, but then they went and they dropped stuff on him. But they did make it safer for him, but he was pretty upset.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But it's a great scene.
Yeah. And he reacted exactly the way they wanted him to. But yeah. It's got a little bit like what they did with Alan Rickman when they went ahead and let him go a little early to get just get that reaction.
It's perfect. And this is mostly shaving cream.
Yeah.
I can imagine smelling all that all over you. You're like walking fluff.
Mm-hmm. I have felt that sticky before.
Oh man, awful. When we have our little water battle stuff at the church with the children on Bible school, I've walked away like that.
Yeah,
man. Literally.
I've been hit with pies and been like that.
Had marshmallows on me, and this is the gross part. I've gone to wash up after we've been done. I've had peanut butter in my ear.
Yeah.
It's surfaced.
Kitty, you're picking a weird place to just stand on me like this when I got all this equipment hooked to me. That's part of the fun of recording this podcast is in the living room where we have three cats doing who knows what.
Yeah,
during the performance of the show, they were wrestling in a box, making noise.
Yeah, go crazy. Mm-hmm. They're sweet cats, though. I like this part.
Mm-hmm.
I even like that music that they have.
Yep.
This part's funny where the head's still on.
Somebody turn on the lights.
The little guy.
Yeah.
Boom, boom.
Okay, so on release, Ghostbusters was widely praised for successfully blending comedy, horror, and special effects without letting effects dominate the humor. Critics highlighted the script, the cast interplay, and the fun tone. Roger Ebert gave it a 3.5 out of 4 stars, noting it as an exception to the general rule that big special effects can wreck a comedy, because here the effects serve the characters and story. Over time, it becomes considered... Okay, I already read that part. The film's catchphrase, who you gonna call, Ghostbusters, became instantly iconic and remains part of popular culture. The theme song by Ray Parker Jr. hit number one on the Billboard Hot 100, stayed there for 3 weeks, and became a chart staple. The film spawned a multimedia franchise, sequels, cartoons, video games, merchandise reboots, and spinoffs. Influenced the way that light horror fantasy could be integrated into mainstream comedy films. Some critics argue it helped birth a modern blockbuster template that mixed spectacle, star power, and high concept premises.
Ghostbusters.
So Joe says ghosts hide within walls or behind facades. The film suggests a world beneath what we see, unseen realities that can intrude into the physical. That aligns with the biblical teaching of an invisible spiritual realm of angels and demons that often works in hidden ways. The moment when the city is invaded by supernatural forces is a reminder that unseen powers can overwhelm ordinary structures unless awakened to them. Some Christian commentaries raise caution. Ghostbusters uses ghost, demon, and possession motifs mixed with humor. Some scenes, like the gatekeeper keymaster possession, can be viewed as sexualized or occult in nature. This gives room for discussion. Christians should discern what aligns with biblical truth, what is dramatization, and where to draw the lines in entertainment with supernatural content.
I can understand that. I'll be talking about some of that on Sunday, actually.
Yep. And this is how you get an idea where, oh, a sequel? Because there's some ugly little spuds.
Oh, yeah.
All right. Well, I'd say it's about time we wrap this up because it's late for me and my eyes are tired, man.
Me too, man.
This is a late night for me. We're getting old for this.
I get too old for this stuff.
Yep, I'm getting too old for this stuff. But that was Ghostbusters, watching with my pastor.
Oh, yeah.
Any other lessons other than that? I mean, the way they come together as a team is very kind of inspiring.
Yeah, very much so, and I love it a lot. In fact, I dare say we fight against spirits all the time. I'll be talking about it on Sunday. If you all want to tune in, it's going to be called Mask.
And of course, if you want to be able to hear that sermon, if you go to neverlandpodcast.com, I have links to all the podcasts within the network, including Moment of Truth Bible Baptist Church, which is where I grab all the sermons from the Sundays and I put them out there. Hey, if you go to YouTube even, Moment of Truth Bible Baptist Church, you can actually watch live. If you can't get to your church or you're just curious, you can watch our services. They're actually all online, and you can watch us on YouTube, and you can even sing along. We have the entire worship service there. So we sing, we worship, we study the Word, and we have a good time. And you're welcome to join us in that. So, yes, make sure you visit NeverlandPodcast.com for the entire network of podcasts and all the different fun we have in the Fandom Next and over here. And the Mighty Marvel Tooncast is coming back, I promise you. I do have plans on that one. But this has been our viewing of Ghostbusters. If you would like to be able to watch movies along with us, you're going to have to become a member of Patreon or become part of the exclusive membership there on Red Circle. For just a minimum fee, you get to have all that. You can watch and hear the movie with us. There was a little bit of an edit in here because we had a technical problem, but overall, you should be able to watch with us. But those of you on the normal podcast, if we're not talking, I'm cutting that part out, so you're only not going to have a podcast the same length as the movie, so it will not coincide for you to be able to watch with us. So keep that in mind. But until we go next time, we'll see you at the movies.
Amen.